It feels impossible. It honestly feels impossible. In the moment that you discover you're pregnant, that you can go through the next 9 to 10 months, that you can again pour your life out to another child, it feels so far beyond your ability.
Well, I'm sure there are many who can identify with those feelings, and maybe you know someone who's pregnant, but they never planned to have another baby. Today on Focus on the Family, we'll have a really honest conversation about surprise children. And your host is Focus President and author Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
John, there's about 6 million pregnancies each year. They keep this data, and somehow about half, 45%, almost 3 million, are classified as unplanned.
Hmm.
And I never knew that.
I
mean, about half of the pregnancies are. That was my story. My mom had me at 42. I was the oops baby. Always introduced, I can remember being 4 or 5 years old and my mom saying, "This is my oops child." I didn't know why that was special, but sometimes it was a little, what does that mean? But it does mean that. This is an accidental pregnancy, one that was unplanned. This wasn't what we were thinking at the end of our child rearing years. Mm. And so often on the broadcast, we're talking about teen moms and what they go through, the decisions they have to make, hopefully in a pro-life context, and hopefully parents can help those children make those better choices, etc. But we often hear from people who have struggled at the latter end of their childbearing years, and they've asked us, could you cover this sometime? And we're going to do it today.
Yeah, there's a whole nother set of challenges and issues and emotions associated with being an older parent, and you're done with diapers, and the kids are off in school, and you finally get your life back, and then, I'm pregnant, and there's just a lot there.
There is, John, and I'm grateful we're going to cover the topic today.
Well, Leslie Leyland Fields is our guest, and she's been here before with us, and we're so glad to have her back. She's a former university professor, an author, and an international speaker. And today we'll be talking about one of her books that really is quite powerful. It's called Surprise Child, Finding Hope in Unexpected Pregnancy. And we do have copies of that here. The link is in the episode notes.
Leslie, welcome back.
Hi.
It's so good to see you again.
I am thrilled to be back.
Yeah, it's so fun
to
have you.
It really is. It really is.
Now, a lot of people, they wouldn't know this either, but you and your husband, you fish up in Alaska as your other job, along with everything else you're doing. It sounds rather exhausting.
Sometimes it is. I really try not to think about it. My life has all these different compartments, but they all feed each other.
I love it. Salmon fisherman, university professor, speaker.
Yeah. Now, to me,
do you sleep?
It works. It all works, you know? It all fits together.
Well, the sun doesn't set up there for a long time, right?
Not in the summer.
Well, it's good to have you back. Let's jump into the story. How old when you and your husband find out, oops, we're pregnant, and what were your emotions?
Yeah, I was 42. And I was teaching. I was an English professor at University of Alaska.
You were an English professor.
I was.
Oh, my.
Please don't be quite so shocked at that.
Well, no, now I'm going to have
We're concerned.
I've got to speak a little more clearly and grammatically correctly. Don't end with an L-Y. I already blew it.
Check your adverbs there,
yeah.
Jim.
My dingling participle, is that it? I can't. Anyway, so I always get nervous with the English professors nearby.
No, don't worry. I'm not teaching grammar anymore, let go of the grammar police.
But you're 42, and of course, you already have 4 children.
Yeah.
And what were their ages about that time?
Yeah, so the youngest was 5, and this is the very strong memory hook. He was just about to enter kindergarten. So that was really exciting because that meant no more, you know, childcare.
You were feeling relief as a head.
Yes,
you're going to have some time
finally.
To get back to normal.
Right, yes.
Your then 5-year-old would be going to school.
You'd be going to school.
You'd have 3-4 hours to do things.
I would have 4 hours of my own every day to do my work. And so that was the big, you know, relief at the end of this long tunnel. 4 children. So they were, Elisha was 5. They were 12 down to 5.
Okay.
And then, I remember not feeling well, feeling exhausted, and going to the drugstore and picking up that pregnancy test. And I remember clearly just standing there looking at that double line. And it was like, no, God, this can't be happening.
Yeah. And so You're taking the test. I can't imagine. I mean, again, this is something my mother went through, obviously. And
yeah, right about the same age.
At 42. Same age.
Yeah.
So with that, I mean, when you see that positive stripe, what went through your heart? What were your first emotions? Were you happy?
No. I was shocked because we were using birth control and we were done. We had given away all our baby stuff. We were on to the next chapter of life.
Yeah.
And so the thought of starting over, and I had all those fears. I mean, in those first few minutes, you are crushed with all of these fears and anxieties, and you're literally thinking 30 years ahead.
Right.
I mean, I'm literally in those first few moments figuring out, okay, how old am I going to be when this child graduates from high school? I'm going to be in my 60s. What? And that means I probably can't retire. And that means, you know, I'm already projecting 30 years ahead in those first 5 minutes.
And so you're already feeling like a failed mom before you even have this
child. I feel like a bad mother already, because I'm already like, I'm resenting this child. I don't want this child.
Right.
I'm having all of those negative emotions. And you know, I had never experienced those emotions before, because my other four children were prayed for, were desired, wanted, pursued, planned.
Yeah. Leslie, let me ask the question I feel like I'm hearing back through the microphones is, you know, as a Christian woman, someone who puts their faith in Christ, some women would be saying, why would you be saying that? Why, you know, God's blessed you with this child. And I appreciate your vulnerability, because I think many Christian women, and I'll speak just to that audience. Now, I know there are non-Christians listening. I hope you receive Christ and those good blessings come your way. But that honesty is so refreshing. Let's start with God, then we'll move to your husband. We'll keep it in that order. What was that talk like with God? What was he speaking into your heart? What were you wrestling with him about? And how did he settle you down?
Wow.
Or did he?
You're just looking straight into my heart, into exactly what happened. I did wrestle with God immediately. You know, all of those fears and anxieties, I am aware that God is with me right now in this moment, and I'm complaining, I'm lamenting, I'm saying all these things to him. And yet there's also this very clear sense that, oh my goodness, God, what are you doing? It's not, what have we done? It's not, what mistake have we made? It's, God, what are you doing here? And even as I said that, I even had a sense of what the answer was. You know, I was teaching full time. I had four young children. I was so kind of busy and crazy and exhausted. And, you know, in some tiny part of my heart, there was a sense of relief of knowing, okay, God, this is what you want.
Huh.
This is what you want right now.
How long was that process, though? I mean, was that the first moment?
It was the first moment, and it didn't necessarily stay with me the whole part
of
the journey.
Oh, your emotions got in the way?
Oh, pregnant women don't have any of those.
Yes. Well, we'll get to your husband's response in a second here, but that may be a good opportunity. How did your husband react? He had to be shocked as well.
He was. And it was... the news was hard for him as well. You know, we're both Christians. We've both given our lives to God. We both want to follow God and be obedient to God, but this was not our plan.
Yeah.
And we both saw all the long-term consequences of it. And it was concerning to my husband because he felt very clearly the financial repercussions of that. And he was thinking, wow, this probably means we can't retire when we were hoping to retire. And so we both shared. And I'm so glad, this sounds strange, but I'm so glad that my husband was as anxious as I was, because we could really share our fears together. And some husbands might respond beautifully and say, oh, honey, it's okay. You know, God's got this. We're going to be fine. But my husband could join me in that hard place, in that dark place.
Well, I think we have adequately painted that pain you were in that moment emotionally and what you're anticipating physically. And at that point, you were contemplating the giving up of that late career. But a year later, your child, the unplanned one, is about a year old. And what happens next?
Well, I did not give up my teaching career. I decided, all right, God, I have this wonderful baby Abraham who everyone in my family just absolutely fell in love with him.
But that happens with the oops baby.
Yes, it does. And we're going to talk more about that because that's the really important part, right? So I went back to teaching. I was a crazy woman. I shouldn't have done that.
But you're trying to make it work, juggling all the balls again.
I am trying to make it work. I am trying to make it work because I feel a strong call to teaching. It's part of my ministry of serving and loving others. And I'm 43 and I am not feeling well. And I think, maybe it's because I'm teaching an extra class this semester. Oh, well, of course I'm tired. And you can already guess the end of the story. I discover I am pregnant again. I am pregnant again. Abraham is a year old. I still have a baby and I'm pregnant again. I was on the floor.
So did you ever say to the Lord, Lord, what did I miss last time that you wanted to teach me this time?
I did.
Did you ask that question?
I did.
I was only guessing, but that would be my first question.
I did. And you know what I recognized was that the Lord was really speaking to me about my priorities. And I saw really clearly, or I didn't get it the first time. I went back to teaching. And I probably shouldn't have. It wasn't the right time to go back to teaching. And I knew that God was calling me to step away for a while. I didn't know how long for. I thought it was for forever.
Yeah. Leslie, one of the things that you mentioned in the book, and again, this is extremely vulnerable. I appreciate your honesty. But with that second oops baby at 43, you had a thought that crushed your mind. What was it?
Yeah. It was, and as we're talking, I realized actually I was 44. I was 44 when I was pregnant, that second pregnancy. It was a really bad time in our lives. We were going through so much upheaval. My husband's job was in jeopardy. Our house was going through not just a remodel. It turned out most of our house was rotten. It had to be completely rebuilt. So our finances were devastated. And I've got five children. I've got this baby. I'm trying to teach. It just was a really, really bad time. And now I'm pregnant. Mm. And that added just an unbearable burden. And in those moments, I suddenly thought, I had this flash like, this could go away. I know that this could go away. I could just end this right now before anybody knows. I wouldn't even have to tell my husband. And so I had that thought. I had those moments of...
Where did that go? I mean, what happened next? What convinced you not to move that direction? I mean, I think people, when they're honest with themselves and knowing your situation, I mean, of course, as a pro-life organization, as Christians, you know, we always talk about it never being the right solution. But the honesty of having the thought is what I'm really interested in. Obviously, you didn't do it, but I guess why the thought and why you didn't do it?
Yeah. Even within 10 minutes of thinking that thought, I mean, my soul is in turmoil. My mind is in turmoil. I am just on the floor before God. And I know that this baby isn't mine. This child is in my body, but this is clearly God's design. I'm not happy about it. I'm angry about it. I don't know how on earth I'm going to make it through another pregnancy, but I know that this child isn't mine to get rid of. And I know that God has some kind of purpose and intent through it, and that I was going to have to believe that.
So, Leslie, what I'm hearing, it's so important, you know, for men and women, but particularly women, because the burden is on them. We can be supportive, and we need to be, but that mooring, that anchor that you were attached to, your faith in Christ, kept you from making that decision, I would think, that you recognize this is God's way, and it's not wrong, it's just inconvenient and terribly disruptive to what I want.
Yeah. And at the time, and I think every woman experiences this, any woman in an unplanned pregnancy experiences this, it feels impossible. It honestly feels impossible. in the moment that you discover you're pregnant, that you can go through the next 9 to 10 months, that you can, again, pour your life out to another child. It feels so far beyond your ability. Mm. And the truth is, it is, right? It is beyond your ability. But the Holy Spirit, who lives inside, it was very clear, you know, this child isn't yours. You don't get to decide.
That's an amazing statement to hear and to feel as a believer.
Yeah. And in some ways it is a relief because you know it's clear what the step forward is.
Yeah.
The step forward is not, what am I going to do about this baby? The step forward is, okay, Lord, help me through this pregnancy.
I love that.
And maybe you can relate to the dilemma that our guest, Leslie Leyland Fields, faced with her unexpected pregnancies. Maybe you have a similar struggle or a crisis in your family that you just don't know how to deal with. Please know that we're here to help. Focus on the Family has a team of caring Christian counselors, and we're just a phone call away. Our number is 800, the letter A in the word family, 800-232-6459. Or you can find out more on our website, and we'll have the link in the show notes. When you get in touch, be sure to check out Leslie's wonderful book, Surprise Child, Finding Hope in Unexpected Pregnancy.
Leslie, I love your honesty, because I know the struggle is real for many women. Choosing between a career or a child, it's tough. Which is most important? Where are your priorities? But you know, in the end, I think it's obvious.
It is obvious, and it's what is most important right now. Right. And so after that second pregnancy, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I'm walking away from teaching. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of relief in that clarity. Like, you know, you get up in the morning and we want to do God's will that day. We want to live out God's will. God, what do you have for me today? So every morning that I got up with this child inside of me, I knew what God's will for me was that day.
Yeah.
To love this child that I was carrying, to care for this child, and to care for the children that God had given me and the husband that God had given me.
Leslie, you know, so much of culture is screaming the opposite direction right now. And feminist groups will say, you can't have both. You know, you can't have a baby and have a career. And the better choice is the career, because you deserve it. And this is what women's rights, it's what it's all about, is exercising that choice of career over a child. It's devastating. I think it's so antithetical to the heart of a woman that it does tear them apart, even those people that support choice in that way. What do you say to that young woman, that 25-year-old, that 28-year-old who, you know, is having that choice today?
I think that the voices in our culture put us in a false dilemma. I don't think it's an either or, and we have to see that we have a lifetime ahead of us. When I stepped out of teaching at 45 and I happily and willingly said goodbye to my career, and I thought that was it. Well, interestingly, God literally hand delivered to me another teaching job 2 years later. But I could teach from home.
Right.
It was a part-time job that I could teach from home. And it was in a graduate program. And it was exactly used all of my education, my abilities, and my gifts. I'm now 63. And God has so prospered my career and my calling beyond my wildest expectations. Mm-hmm. And I thought at 45... that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to be a professional anymore. But God had other plans for that as well.
Yeah, and it's so amazing. And I think God smiles when we show faithfulness toward Him. That's what He's looking for. Will you trust me? And when we do, man, I think the Lord just responds with that blessing, whatever it might be, just peace in your heart. It, you know, and I think that believer has that relationship with Christ available to them. Leslie, let me capture a conversation because I think it paints that picture so clearly. You're on a flight with overhearing some women. What this really is typical, right? So what happened?
Yeah. So I was pregnant. This is my second pregnancy. I'm flying off to a conference, and I hear these two women just a couple of rows behind me, and they're talking about potty training, and they're talking really loudly about all the details of their toddler's potty training. And I remember sitting there thinking, I was just feeling so embarrassed for them and embarrassed for womankind that...
Well, that's good. Embarrassed that, for them. I thought you were going to go the other way.
No, you felt
embarrassed for yourself.
No, I like that. Yes, I felt embarrassed for all women that, you know, here, two women are together. They're obviously really good friends. And like, this is what they're talking about together on a plane so loudly that everybody can hear. And I realized in my mind, there was this judgment and this kind of, again, prioritizing, like, I was more important because I was heading off to a conference, you know, and they're discussing potty training. And that's that voice of the culture sneaking in that says raising children is not nearly as important as going to speak at a conference.
Yeah.
And I recognized later that those voices are such a lie. Those voices that say what we're doing, this hard work of loving and kids and changing their diapers and feeding them in the high chair and carrying them in the backpack and cleaning toilets. All this is beautiful work in the kingdom of God.
And it's brief.
It's brief.
I mean, those are brief things that pop up,
the big
chores.
And when you're the woman in the midst of that, you know, it feels like it goes on forever, but it doesn't. So I'm really here at the other end to say that time is going to zoom by.
Well, and I think, Leslie, the difficulty I struggle with when I look at the broader culture today, and you see the denigrating of motherhood, but the next generation comes through mothers. I mean, dads are wild cards. I know we got our issues and our problems, but if we lose the heart of women for their children, we're doomed.
We are. There is no future.
And
there's no future
like
of the planet.
We're getting closer to that. And
yeah.
You know, it is. The next generation comes through the love and physically through a woman.
Yes.
And it breaks my heart that young women particularly are not seeing the value of that.
We think that when we're pregnant and, you know, we're about to birth this child and we're going to spend, you know, pour out our lives for this child, we think that our life is going to shrink. We see a career as a big life, a life that's out there. It's a public life. Everybody can see and everybody values that. And we think that having a child suddenly confines us to the home and that it's a small life.
Yeah.
And I have found the opposite to be true, that my life has grown and expanded. I have become smarter and wiser and deeper of a human being because of my children. Mm-hmm. Every one of my children has grown and stretched and made my life bigger.
That's the reward. And you know that scripture, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you would have life and life more abundantly. And even, you know, with your honesty, you said it. You had that moment where the thief almost got his desires, but you slammed the door, and now your two children have life, and they have a purpose, and they have a future, and they, I know, have life more abundantly because of the home they're being raised in. How old are they now?
They're about to turn 18 and 20.
Oh, I love it.
18 and 20. But they're still my, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're grown
special.
Up. They're special. They are. And, you know, these unplanned babies end up being special because I think because you have to fight harder for them.
Right.
You pray more, you cry more, you cling to God more, and they end up being more.
I'll add, just for the firstborns and the middleborns, we're all special.
You are.
So
and my other four children.
Us.
Right. Yeah, please. All
God
my other
loves
children.
You is the point you're making.
Yes,
Leslie, this has
yes.
been awesome. Thank you for coming all the way down from Alaska and that wonderland up there to spend time with us to talk about what God has shown you and your great book, Surprise Child, Finding Hope in Unexpected Pregnancy. This is a book for most women, and I'm sure many boyfriends and husbands too. But the girl who's 16, 17, that young woman, you know, 27, 30, and then maybe especially that 40-something who's having that oops baby. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
And as we said earlier, be sure to reach out to us if we can offer our counseling services to you or other resources. We do, of course, recommend Leslie's book. It is full of great stories and encouragement. And we've got the link in the episode notes so you can get your copy.
And John, let me just remind everybody, like we often do, if you can make a gift to partner with us in the ministry, we'll send you a copy of Leslie's book for a gift of any amount, just to help us. Let's continue to help women make the godly choice when it comes to their pregnancies and the babies that they carry into this new life. And also, Option Ultrasound. What a great program that is here at Focus on the Family. We have been doing this for 16 years. We've saved almost 500,000 babies. It's $60 a baby. Man, it makes me teary-eyed thinking about it. We have the metrics. We know what we're doing in this regard, working with these crisis pregnancy centers around the country who are in the trenches every day. Support them if you can. Look them up in the phone book if you have a Christian pregnancy center near you. Volunteer time, volunteer your resources, help them because they are helping women each and every day make that right choice for life. And what we do is come alongside and provide that ultrasound machine so that they could provide a picture of their baby. And 54% of abortion-minded women that go into those clinics for a free ultrasound will choose life. You hear God saying, do it? I hope so. $60.
Yeah, that can really make such a difference. Donate online or give us a call to learn more about how together we're helping save preborn babies every day through Option Ultrasound. Our number is 800, the letter A in the word family, or look for the link in the show notes. And this reminder, as you contribute to the work here, we'll say thank you by sending a copy of Leslie's book, Surprise Child. Now, coming up tomorrow, encouragement for you to be a bold witness for Christ in your everyday life.
See, Satan knows that how you see yourself will determine how you behave yourself. So if he can convince you, as a believer, that you're not a full-time minister, that you're just an insurance salesman, or you're just a real estate guy, or you're just a stay-at-home mom, or whatever, and he can convince you of that, then that's how you're going to act.
On behalf of Jim Daly and the entire team here at Focus on the Family, thanks so much for listening today. I'm John Fuller, inviting you back as we once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.
I'm here asking people how they could both give and get.
I don't know, maybe love?
Yeah, you could both give and get love.
True, but it's also possible with a charitable gift annuity. You get a secure source of fixed income and a charitable tax deduction. Plus, giving a charitable gift annuity to Focus on the Family helps families thrive for generations to come.
I love that.
Find out more. Go to FocusPlannedGiving.com. That's FocusPlannedGiving.com.